Build a people of praise. And we know that praise and worship is more than a song. It's a lifestyle. It's the way that we're called to be every day of our life. And I want to unpack that today. And I believe as we begin to, if we can grasp what God is saying to us about praise and worship and what it is to be a people of praise and worship, I believe it will impact our lives, and in not just our lives, but also our church and the places around us as well. In this passage I just read in John chapter 4, Jesus said, there's a time coming when people will worship me in spirit and in truth. And it says that the Father seeks such a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not looking for a people who just worship and sing a song, but people who worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the key. And praise and worship God is about worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That word worship is from the Greek word, is literally means to kiss the hand towards one in token of reverence, to fall upon your knees as an expression of profound reverence. By kneeling or prostrate, to do homage to one, whether in order to express respect or to make supplication. It's used to show who is the superior rank. In other words, you know, our worship to God is in total surrender to say, God, as we declared earlier, you are Lord. We sung about bowing down before God today, of who God is, putting God in his rightful position and knowing our position before him. And it's in surrender, worship. We read in that passage that Father seeks such a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking people today who will worship him not just with a song, but with his spirit and in truth. That word spirit and in truth to means from the truth of your heart in reality, in genuosity. That we mean it, that we're worshiping God not just from our lips, but from our hearts towards him. Do you know it's our purpose in life? God created you to worship him, to praise him. And until we're doing what God has created us to do, we will never feel fulfilled in our life. You know, when I got up this morning, I didn't start brushing my hair with my toothbrush. And I didn't, when I wash the dishes, I don't stick them in the washing machine, because that's not the purpose by which they were made. And God did not create us to live a life of sin. We know that sin brings forth death. If we know any of us, when we sin, we know the sin, that the death that it brings upon our life. You know how unforgiveness can bring bitterness, it can destroy our bones. How we can be destroyed by the sins around us and the heartache. We're not built to manage sin in our life. We can cope for it for so long, but then eventually it brings forth death. But we were made to worship God. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. God's saying, I've made you to be the praise of his glory, to your people of worship and praise to him. Romans 12 verse 1 says this, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or duty of worship. So God, our bodies, our lives, as a place of worship to him. Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything, the birds when they're singing, I believe they're praising God. Everything that has breath on this planet, and God's saying, let you who has breath today praise the Lord. Praise him. There's a cry from heaven to praise the Lord. There's a cry from creation to praise the Lord. There's a cry from the Word of God to praise God. There's a cry from the prophets to praise the Lord. There's a cry from some of the kings to praise the Lord. There's a cry, praise God. There's one of the psalmists, I think it's Psalm 107. I'm just remembering off the top of my head, but it says again and again, oh, that my people would praise me. The cry of God's heart is to praise him. The Father seeks people, such a people who worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, God, he demands our praise for who he is, because he's holy, because of who he is, his majesty. He's the creator of our lives. He desires our praise. He loves our praise. He desires it and he deserves it. He died on the cross for us. He's given everything to us. He deserves our praise. Will you praise him? We're made to praise the Lord. But sometimes I believe that our praise can be from a distance. We can come, we bring a song, we bring a worship. But we sing to God or we worship God and our heart is from a distance. And we've heard already through things that we've sung, through words that have been given, God is calling us to come nearer to him. I hope we hear the word of the Lord today. I hope we do. The encouragement is the scripture. God is calling us to draw closer to him. And one of the ways we draw closer to God, one of the prime ways, is through our praise and worship to him. Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And God wants our hearts to come near to him. And sometimes our praise and worship can be just our lips. It can be a song. But I tell you, it's more than a song. And I tell you, we as believers in Christ Jesus, as human beings, as the creation of God, we'll never feel the fulfillment of God and the fullness of his life until we become to be a people of true worship, who worship in spirit and in truth. We must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, when I was just reminded and preparing this, is when Rachel and I, we went to see Josh Groban in concert a number of years ago. He's one of those classical singers. And we went, but we booked some of the cheap tickets. And we got right to the top. And it was behind pillars, and we had a great view of his head. It was down there, and we could hear it, and we thought, it sounds great, but it would have been better to sit down right near the front there. And sometimes I think that can be with our worship. We sing from a distance, we worship God from a distance, but there's so much more when we come into the throne of grace. There's so much more when we come into the very presence of God. It will transform us, our lives. And it's there where God will begin to move in our lives and transform us more into his likeness of his son. It's there where victory begins to take place. It's there where we become more likened into his glory, into his image, in the presence of God. To worship God in spirit and in truth, that word, you know, we think, is that, are we worshiping God in our spirits? Are we worshiping God in the spirit of God? I believe that's talking about primarily the spirit of God, but it works as both. When God's Spirit begins to move in us, we can't help but worship him. The stirring of the Spirit as he reveals more of Jesus to us, as he reveals more of heaven to us, more of his kingdom to us, more of his truth to us. We can't help but worship him. But our spirits join with him. They mingle together, if you like. And it causes us to say, thank you, Jesus. Causes us to say, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Causes us to say, I love you, Jesus. There's something of his spirit working with our spirit. And it causes us to praise him. And as we worship in spirit, we're worshiping in the spirit of God. We're worshiping in the spirit of Jesus. We're worshiping with our hearts, not just our lips. Now, I tell you, there is so much more to praise and worship. I think we're just scratching the surface. And I'm going to unpack more of this. And I really, it's so wonderful if we can begin to enter in. You know, the Bible talks of the Spirit being like the wind. And the wind, we can't see it, but we see its effects. We can feel it. We can hear it. Like God, as we worship, as the Spirit of God begins to breathe over us, it begins to blow over us in our worship. We must be sensitive to the Spirit of God as he begins to move and engage with us in our worship, because as he engages, he is drawing us and compelling us and wooing us closer to him. That's where I want to be. Isn't that where you want to be? Closer to the presence of Jesus, to his love, to his holiness that will cleanse me, to his power, to his kingdom. Psalm 22 verse 3 says he inhabits the praise of Israel. In other words, he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we begin to praise God, the Spirit of God begins to move in our midst and he begins to make his abode among us. That word inhabit is to literally to sit down, to dwell, to abide, to take a seat in our midst, to dwell, to want to be there, to remain. So as we're praising and worshiping God in spirit and in truth, then God says, I'm going to take my seat among these people. I'm going to dwell among them. And God, when God dwells among us, the robe of his temple, that robe that fills the temple of God, will consume us with his glorious presence. And in his presence, the demons cannot stand. In his presence, sickness will not stand. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Wow, the presence of God. Oh God, stir a hunger within us for more of your presence. Stir us. You know, Jesus got excited about the presence of God, and when the Spirit of God began to reveal himself, and he said in Luke 10, he said, at that very time, Jesus, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, but revealed it to the infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. God loves to reveal himself to people like children. You know, the children cried out and worshiped God, and they tried to quiet them down. And God wants us to be like children that come into the presence of God. We need to catch the wind of the Spirit of God. And when I was about 13, I used to go down to Cleethorpes Front with my friends, mates from school, and we'd take our skateboards down the front. And when we'd get there, and sometimes it'd be quite windy by the beach, and we'd jump on my skateboard. And I remember one time it was so windy, and I opened up my jacket, and it caught the wind, and it took me along the seafront, just carried me along. You know, when the Spirit of God begins to move in the midst of our worship, he will carry our meetings. I don't have to carry the meeting. You don't have to carry. We are carriers of God, but he will carry as we go with the wind of his Holy Spirit. You know, I have like a Yuba begin to sing, thank you, Jesus. Or a word being given, like Tony did this morning, and Andy. And Jeanette being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. That's what we want. That's what we're hungering for. Because God will lead us always to victory, to truth, to his kingdom, to his presence. We need to catch the wind of the Spirit of God. And it happens as we begin to praise and worship him. Psalm 95 verse 2 to 3 says, let us come into the presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is great and a king above all gods. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. How do we come into the presence with God? Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. But it's more than a song. It's much more than a song. It's coming to God with the depth of our heart and surrender to him. If you just turn with me now, we'll just look at an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read this again and again, and I've just been, wow, amazed. We go deeper in praise, and we understand what it really means to praise God. As I said, it will impact and transform our life. We will not be left the same again. Praise brings victory in our situations and our circumstances. Praise brings victory in our communities. Praise will bring victory in church, in our church gatherings together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll read the first couple of verses just to get a picture of what it is, and then we're going to get down to verse 14 and take it from verse 14 to chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. It says, now it came about after that, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at the time. Then some came, reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea and of Aram. And behold, they are in Hazaron Tamar. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, even came from all the cities of Judah to seek God. So we see a vast army. I mean, there's trouble on the horizon. You and I know what it's like to have trouble on the horizon. Maybe you've got trouble on the horizon right now. And he said that he set his face to seek the Lord to find help in that time of need. So there's trouble. There's a vast army. He's afraid. He's trembling. He's worried about what is to come. But God has a plan in the midst of this. And the plan involves praise and worship. Jump down to verse 12. He begins to pray, oh God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Do you ever feel powerless? Do you ever feel that your whatever you have is limited? You can't do get a breakthrough what you have, the supply that you have around us. You feel powerless. You feel ineffective with what you have. And he says, we feel powerless. We cannot get the victory because of what we have. We're powerless. And then he goes on to say, nor do we know what to do. I have no idea what to do next. Have you been there? I don't know what I'm going to do, God. I don't know what the plan is for the future. I have no strategy. I have no idea. I have no words to say. But then he says, I love this, but, and we heard it already brought this morning, but our eyes are on you. See, that's where the victory is, when our eyes remain on him. And then verse goes on, all the Judah were standing before the Lord with their infants, with their wives and their children. They came together. Let's not lose sight of the importance of coming together. Verse 14, then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehezerel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Now this is incredible. If you know who Asaph was, Asaph wrote many of the Psalms. They weren't all written by David, but he wrote many of the Psalms. Asaph was also one of the chief musicians. Not only was Asaph, we read in Chronicles, was he one of the chief musicians, but as he began to play the instrument, it says that he would prophetically play the instruments, that while he played music and worshiped God, God would be working through the music prophetically. How about that? As we're worshiping God, that God would begin to move just through the sound of the instruments, the Spirit of God would work and bring breakthrough. So here is Asaph who brings this prophetic word to these people. His background is from the sons of Asaph, His background is from the sons of Asaph. He's been trained in praise and worship. And he brings this word. And he said, listen, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Some of us need to hear that today. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Stop fighting a battle. We sung it in today as well, another song. You're fighting our battles. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley of, in front of the wilderness of Jurel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Station yourself, position yourself. Position yourself in praise. Position yourself in worship as a lifestyle. Do not be fearful or dismayed. Do not be discouraged. For tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. You know, there's a call for us to go out and continue to praise the Lord. To face whatever battles around, we face it with praise. Jehoshaphat, listen, verse 18, here we go. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and his inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Here it is, the first thing that we see. Remember, they hadn't got the victory yet. They hadn't even gone out to battle yet. And what did we find him doing? He'd falling down, worshipping God. He'd bowed down and worshipped God. When you see the word praise or thanksgiving in the Bible, or bless the Lord in the Bible, it is more than just bless, praise, thanksgiving as we understand it. It goes further than that. And we see a picture here of the word, the praise word, which is the word barak. And that word barak means to kneel down and bless the Lord in adoration before him. It means to kneel down in surrender before God, in worship. He positioned himself in a place of worship before God. His heart was surrendering to God and saying, God, you've spoken your word to me, and I need to bow down before you. I need to surrender to you. And what can happen in our worship and our praise, not always will it always be the first thing that happens that we begin to jump up and down and shout hallelujah and sing praise to God. But when the Spirit begins to move in our lives, as we praise and worship God, it may be the spirit of conviction will first move in our life. That we begin to realize our utter need of God. Where the mercy of God begins to flow. I believe that sometimes before we can move forward in the victory shout of praise, we need to come to the place of barak, a place of bow down and surrender before God. This is our worship to God. When we surrender to him. We can be worshiping God, we can be singing songs, and then the Spirit of God, the wave of the Spirit just begins to wash over us. And then all of a sudden we start feeling and being reminded of maybe things that we've done or thought throughout the week. It may be where we've gossiped or been critical or been lustful or selfish, and our focus has been off God, and we realize God is saying, bring your focus back to me. You've got it wrong. It's time to get right. And it brings us, this is his mercy. This is the mercy of God. And we must be attentive to the Spirit of God when he moves over our lives. Because if we're not attentive in the place of getting right with God, we will not be able to move that next place forward. And it says that he bowed down before God and he worshipped God. They cried out, they fasted before God and he bowed down. In Acts 2 verse 19, this Peter reminds us when he preaches on that day of Pentecost, he says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be washed away and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, God's desire for you and I is that we would know the refreshing, the waves of refreshing, the waves of mercy, the waves of his grace upon our life. That we'd know the freedom and the peace of God. But when we continue to live in a place of sin in our life and cherish sin in our hearts, we will not go beyond. We'll just be worshiping God with lip service from a distance and our hearts remain far from God. God wants us to come closer to him. The Bible says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God wants to bring freedom and liberty, but it's got to come sometimes that position of surrender and yielding to God. You'll not go into that next place of praise until first you've yielded to God. And some of us are still in that place where we're having to battle yielding to God and surrender to God. And I tell you, it is often it's pride and it's fear what people think. It's hindering us from coming into the presence of God. Being self-conscious, constantly worrying what people are going to think of us. We will not know the release of God. And then we live from a distance, just bringing our songs. But praise and worship is much more than a song. And then what happens, it says, the waves of God begin release and refreshing in the presence of God. And it says they began to stand and begin to praise God. We're going to look at that in a moment. But they begin to stand. And what's happening here is that word sabbath, which means to literally be soothed by the calmness of God. You know, have you ever experienced that in your life? Well, you may have just been, God, I've been so overwhelmed by my guilt and my shame. But then his word and that wave of his forgiveness and his love just washes over you. And you just feel, God, thank you. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you that you're washing over me. Thank you that you're releasing me from this burden. Thank you, God. And that word sabbath comes from that word in Psalm 63, where it says, because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will sabbath you. My lips will praise you because of your loving kindness. You have soothed my soul with your grace and mercy. There is nothing in this world at all that will ever soothe your soul except Jesus Christ and the grace and the love of his mercy upon your life. We can pamper ourselves with all kinds of things in this world. It will pamper the flesh, but it will not pamper your soul. The only thing that will soothe you and bring refreshing is when repentance comes into our life and we bow down and surrender to God and lay aside our pride. And pride has got to go. And may God send a battle to us if he has to bring us to our knees, that we'll come closer into his presence. In verse 19, it says, the Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of Korahites, the priests, stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. So they're down, everyone's on their knees praying, God, just have mercy on us. God, we adore you, we surrender to you. And then I believe those waves of just refreshing that we're in you, God. You're for us. You're not against us. And they began to stand. And it says they began to praise God. And they weren't just singing a song. That word praise, the next word praise we see is the word halal. Where we get the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's a wonderful word. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. But you know, it's more than that. Do you know when they stood up and they began to hallel? I don't think we're quite seeing hallel just yet. God, may God release us into the place we're in, the true hallelujahs of praise. Because this word, it says, means to hallel God as they stood and praised him. It means to be glamorously foolish before the Lord. It means that they were a fool in the sight of everybody else. They weren't caring what anyone else thought. They just wanted to express their praise and worship to God. When was the last time we saw that? It's a picture of David coming back from carrying the Ark of the Covenant, where he's jumping up and down and rejoicing and spinning around and singing and celebrating. They're playing the instruments. And then Micah looks on him and says, David, you've got to stop this. You're embarrassing me. And David says, I'll be more, even more undignified than this in the sight of the Lord. The word hallel is to be glamorously foolish in the presence of God. It's to express your praise and your worship in adoration, but excitement of who God is. That's what they were doing. So when they were praising God, they weren't just singing a song and clapping their hands. They were just rejoicing. And can I remind you again? The victory hadn't even come yet. Sometimes we're in a place of woe is me, and we're battling through our struggles and situations, and God's calling us to praise Him. Praise Him. You know, I remember I was quite a few years ago, we were worshiping, praising God, and I was jumping up and down and dancing, and and a guest minister there was an older minister, and he turned to me and he said, I wish I could dance like that again. He said, but my knees won't allow me to. And that's always stuck with me, thinking, God, there may be a time where these knees may not allow me to dance. There may be a time where these hands may not allow me to reach out and praise you, God. But while I have breath, let me, hallel, praise the Lord. You know, don't you want to go beyond to come into His courts? Now you're thinking, well, I feel a bit uncomfortable if I was to do that. And yeah, we would, but until we get to the place of surrender. God, bring us to the place of surrender. It takes one, and then two, and then three. But God, stir us by your Spirit to bring us to a place where we are just so extravagant in our praise and our worship. We're God-focused. Let me ask you, are you more attracted to church or are you more attracted to Jesus? Because we're attracted to the church, we'll always be concerned about what we look like as a church. But if we're attracted to Jesus, then we'll just be more concerned about what we look like before God. Sometimes I think we've got these things a little bit wrong. And they began to shout with a loud voice, hallelujah, praise God. Then verse 20, then they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. When they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people and appointed those who sang to the Lord, those who praised him in the holy attire, and as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So before they went out to battle, they praised the Lord. As they were going out to battle, they praised the Lord. And we see that word hallel again, and then it goes on to the word, when it talks about giving thanks to the Lord, is the word yadah. And that word yadah is not just as we've done today, saying thank you, God, but it comes from the Old Testament. When you see, the first time we see it is in the Old Testament. If you remember the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel, Leah was one of the wives of Jacob, but she felt very unloved because she was not the choice that Jacob had for a wife. But God blessed her with children, and she named each of her children. And when she got to her fourth child, she said, I will name him Judah. And that word Judah means yadah. And the word yadah literally means to throw out your arms before God. Just expression of praise. It's to throw out your praise. It's to throw out your thanks to God. As if a child is reaching out saying, thank you for the gift, whatever you may have given them. And they reach out their arms and say, pick me up. Take me, I love you. It's the expression of a child to his father of love. Do you remember doing that with your parents, with your grandparents? Reaching out and saying, pick me up. That's yadah, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for watching over me. It's that word yadah, as they gave their thanks to God. You know, lift up your hands to the Lord. In praise, in surrender. That word yadah also comes from another praise word, which is the word tauda. You're not going to remember these, are you? But this word means to agree with God. It's very similar. It's also open hand, lifting up your hands before God. But it also means to come in agreement with God. So it's basically saying, God, if you say it, I agree it. And I worship you and I give you thanks for the word that you've spoken. Whether it's come to pass or not, I still agree with it anyway. because of who you are. It's an agreement of with who God is. You say you're the Alpha and Omega. I believe you're the Alpha and Omega. And I thank you that you're the Alpha and Omega. You say that you're going to give us victory over this battle, over this war. And then I say, thank you, God, for the victory that you're going to give us over this war. You say you're more than a conqueror in my life. Then I agree, you are more than a conqueror in my life. It's an expression of thanks, of praise to God. And as we sing these words today, it's not just words, but as you sing it from your heart, the Spirit of God says, that's true, you know. And then you begin to rejoice in your heart and think, it really is true. He is the lion that's coming from Judah. He is the roaring lion that's roaring over our life. He is the Prince of Peace. And we can agree, and it causes something to ignite within us that causes us to want to praise him even more. Hallelujah. And this is what they were doing before they'd even seen the victory. There was great praise in the camp. And they began to say, give thanks to the Lord. His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 22. When they began singing and praising the Lord, they set their ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and they came against Judah, so they were routed. There's another word, praiser, that's different again when you look in the Hebrew. It's the word taliah, which means to come together and praise. Whereas hallel is to glamorously praise the Lord in your action. You're not worrying about what people think. You're saying, I just love Jesus. In fact, there's a psalmist, he says, come, you know, I'll praise God in the midst of the congregation. That's hallel, to be praising God in the midst of others. And people may laugh and joke and at you, but you're saying, God, you mean more to me than this. God loves that. This is the worship that God seeks after. But then we come to this other word, which is not what is seen, but what is heard. So it's the song that is heard from our lips. There was a cry, there was a song that came in unity to God as they gathered together in agreement with his word. Verse 24, when Judah came to look out in the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground and no one escaped. So now they have the victory. There began to be confusion in the camp. You read the verse just before that. There was confusion in the camp. As they begin to praise God, it said they didn't do anything. They didn't go out with their weapons and their weaponry and their shouts. They just began to praise God. And in the camp, it said the people began to fight against each other. This is where the victory comes. This is what I believe God does. As we begin to praise God, true praise from our heart, the Spirit of God begins to dwell in our midst. He begins to inhabit our praises. And when we begin to praise God, it sets confusion in the enemy's camp. And the enemy doesn't know what he's doing and he has to flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. So these people, they come out to fight Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat and his army. But instead of fighting them, there was confusion in the camp and they began to fight each other. God wants to set about victory in your life. He wants to set about victory through your praise and worship. As you praise him, it set confusion in the enemy's camp. As you lift up your voice and begin to declare who God is and agree with who he is, the enemy will get in confusion and begin to run in the other direction. Because they need to flee. They have to flee at the name of Jesus. Ask you, where is your praise today? It says that later on, it says as they return back to their camp in Judah, it said they began to play their instruments and sing. And that's another word, zamar, of praising with your instruments. And there's all way different ways we can praise God, but God is calling us to praise him in spirit and in truth. Don't you want to come closer to the presence of God? He made you to praise and worship him. And I feel that we limit our praise because we worry so often what people may think. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to praise him. I heard a quote recently in a Christian movie that we watched, and they said this. They said, nothing great happens when you hold back. Nothing great happens when you hold back. Don't hold back your praise to God. We do. One of our barriers that we have to break through is that we live in a very British, conserved and reserved society. But you know, as the Bible says, we're not of this world, but also we say now, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you may be in the United Kingdom, but you're not of the United Kingdom, you are of God's kingdom. So if we're of God's kingdom, then we must worship God the way that his kingdom desires. The way the Father seeks and desires people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just with lips, not just a song, but with our hearts. God is calling for us to worship him with his hearts. I want to encourage you, don't hold back the praise. Don't hold back your worship. I also believe that, Lord, I say to people here today, and there may be people who will be like sons of Asaph, your worshippers, your praisers, that God has called you in the area of ministry, and God has caused you to begin to declare and prophesy and speak words of praise, and you've been holding back, and the Lord would say, I release you in today. They saw the victory. So they saw the victory before they'd even gone out because they praised God. Whatever situation you're facing in life, whatever you come across in life, if you praise God, you'll see the victory before you even got the victory. That's faith. It will stir your faith. It will stir your revelation of who Jesus is. I wonder if those who are worshiping, the worship team would come up and let's bow our heads for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. What's the Holy Spirit, the whisper, the wind of the Holy Spirit been breathing over you? What's he been saying over you today? So I am sure that the Holy Spirit is here with us. Catch the wind of the Spirit of God. And maybe you're somebody hearing you. You have no idea what it is to worship God. You've worshipped many things in this world. You've worshipped material things. You've worshipped sports. You've worshipped people. You've worshipped power, position, prestige. You've worshipped your family. You may have worshipped yourself. Do you know the one in whom we should worship? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is Yahweh. It is God with us. It is Emmanuel. It is Jesus. And God is calling our worship back to him. The Spirit of God begin to move upon your life. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know him who we're called to worship, then I encourage you now, give your life to Jesus. Ask God to just wash away every sin from your life. Acknowledge your sin. Say, God, I am a sinner. I've messed up. I've done things wrong. And I know it's destroyed my life, but God, right now, would you cleanse me and bring refreshing? Maybe God is calling you to your knees. Maybe God is calling you to your feet. Maybe God is calling you to bring a song. Maybe God is calling you to play an instrument. Whatever it is, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let praise arise in Rotherham. Let it arise from this church. Let it arise from you, from your heart, from the depth of your heart, from the depth of your spirit. Let praise arise. Don't hold back. Let it arise now. What are you waiting for? Set your eyes on Jesus, not a man. Man's not going to save you. Jesus. Not about this man, his pastors. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Jesus. Let's just begin to worship God before we sing any songs. Just worship. Worship him. He deserves your worship. He demands your worship. He desires your worship. Don't hold back. You want to get on your knees, get on your knees. You want to stand to your feet, stand to your feet. If you want to just sit in the presence of God, sit, but worship, praise him. It's worthy. You are worthy of praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I declare and declare the word of the Lord. Oh God, you inhabit your praises. of your people. You're dwelling amongst the praises. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. It's about you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, am I? We worship you. Oh, Adamasi, bring us to our knees. Bring us closer. Oh, Jesus. Worship, worship in the beauty of his holiness.